on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? Welcome back for another episode of the YokeCast podcast. The Coyote football team is headed to game number 3. Second home game of the season, and of course, soccer's in a break right now. Golf has been participating this week. Volleyball's on the road. We are fully back in Coyote Athletics. Pretty cool deal announced this week by the University of South Dakota and Eastern Washington jointly. The two are set to play on Saturday on the football field for the second time in program history, and both are going to wear indigenous languages on their helmets. We knew that it was Native American Heritage Game for South Dakota. This started last year where they had Shugmani 2 on the side of the helmet, which is Lakota for Coyote. Well, a couple of years ago, Eastern Washington debuted its own indigenous language helmet, which is Uthpikilkane, and that translates to a group of eagles. It's a Salish language that comes in partnership with the Kalispell tribe of Indians. Both the state of Washington and the state of South Dakota have deep roots, deep native roots, and we're going to celebrate that on Saturday. It's a pretty cool deal. You know, the first ever football game where we had the Shugmani 2 on the helmet, and obviously apparel and things like that came against the University of North Dakota. To be able to tie this into Eastern Washington in the second year is fantastic, and I love when schools and equipment guys are able to work together to make things like this happen. Like, it's not always a president or athletic director or whatever. Sometimes deep inside, you know, the bowels of the Dakota Dome and these stadiums, there's an equipment guy who or gal who's working very hard and coming up with ideas. And these people start kind of doing some of this stuff early. Some of it comes together later, but sometimes they work together early and try to work on things like this. And I think it's really, really cool. So I'm really excited to see, you know, both teams sporting indigenous languages on the side of the helmet in the helmet decals, and pretty excited to see, you know, the Native American Heritage Game for the second year in Coyote football, the way we just really, really are able to embrace it. We've been able to do this in basketball, football, and it's been really fun the last several years to see this all come together. So you can get your own Shugmani 2 apparel at the Charlie's Coyote store. You can get it on the concourse at the game. Check it out in the very latest, but really, really cool to see this come together and be a part of it. So excited for that. Kickoff on Saturday is at 1 o'clock. Speaking of that, we'll have a preview of the Eastern Washington Eagles coming up in just a little bit with Larry Weir. He is the longtime play-by-play voice of Eastern Washington. We will also talk Coyote football with Harrison Brunn. He has made an impact through a couple of games, the transfer from the University of Minnesota. Let's get it started this week with Brooke Conway. She is a senior from the state of Colorado on the soccer team, coming off of a senior day victory, and now a little gap for the soccer team before they fire up conference play here in a couple of weeks. We had a chance to catch up this week and talk about her soccer career. Brooke, the season's kind of in a lull right now. No matches here for a couple of weeks. But how would you describe the non-conference part of the season? Your team 3-3-2 right now. How would you describe what this season has been like so far?
Yeah, I think the non-conference is such a fun part of the season, kind of preparing for conference. And I think it's fun because you get to play a lot of different teams. And obviously we were on the road a lot with only 3 home games. So I think traveling and kind of getting that portion under control and learning how to travel, especially for the freshmen, is important to get early on in the year. So then when you have to do that for conference, you're kind of prepared for that. And I think we also have this 2-week little break before conference starts, and I think it's a good reset because we have had some adversity. Just being on the road is always hard, and so I think this reset and like getting back into conference mode is really good for us right now.
There's always challenges on the road, but
how much fun are road trips sometimes? You know, just you're just together with the team.
Yeah, it's awesome because we just went on a 5-day trip to Colorado and Wyoming, and you're just with each other the entire time, and like you eat together, sleep together, like do all these things together, you're playing together all the time, and you really just get connected with people that maybe you didn't know that well before. Like our team, we always try to do like older players with younger players for roommates, and I think getting to know those different players on your team is awesome because then it translates to on the field as well, so it's always good.
You know, you're used to going back to your home state and playing at least once a year, but with Denver out of our league, the non-conference matchup, how special was it to be able to, you know, go back there and play a match this year?
Yeah, it's always awesome. Just because we are, I'm a little far away from home, so it's nice that we always get a game there. And yeah, with DU out of the conference, that's a little different. But going to UNC was super fun, just to see my family and some people from home. So it's always fun to play there and see everyone in my home state.
I know you got a lot of soccer left, obviously, the whole conference season to go. Mm-hmm. But you look back at your career.
Yeah.
How would you sum it up right now?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard to like put into words how fast it's gone, but also I look back and like how much I've grown from my freshman year to now, and I feel like each season was like different for me. Like my freshman year was so much fun coming in, and then my sophomore year I did get injured, so that was hard to come back from, and then I've been kind of dealing with like chronic injuries for the past 2 years, and so just dealing with that and just having my teammates behind me. And that's really what it's all about, is still having fun through adversity and like just being there for each other is so much fun.
You obviously have played a lot in your career at USD. You've started a lot, played in a lot of matches in your career, and obviously the injury was a minor setback, mm-hmm. and you deal with some of that constantly. How do you try to work through that as a competitor? You came in your freshman year, everybody's like, wow, who's this freshman we got, you know? And then you get injured in that second season. How do you try to mentally just battle back from something?
Yeah, I think it was hard because coming in my sophomore season, like, I was player to watch. I was so ready to go. And then I got hurt right before our first actual game. So I feel like that was really hard to deal with, just, like, knowing what the potential of the season could have been. And so I was out the first month, and I think working every single day just to get back on the field and just knowing, like, why you started, why you're doing this really helped me. And then also just having your teammates support, because so many people go through it. Like, we have two girls right now with torn ACLs, and, like, we're always there for them. And, like, despite going through all that, just looking at the forward goal of being back on the field is really, like, what keeps you going.
You know, I don't know how many people realize, you know, you're pretty much a second family, you know, when you get with yeah. your team and your coaches and yeah. everything. So you talk about the importance of it. How close is this team if you're going to constantly be there for each other? It feels like a tight-knit group.
Yeah, it really is. Even with – we had a freshman class of 10 this year, and they've already blended in so well with our team, and we're already so close. And then the group that's the returners, we've been playing together for 2-3 years now, and so it's hard not to be so close just because you're with each other all the time. But I think we're all very similar in the way we all get along on and off the field, which is great, because then that like chemistry and fun, like, it translates onto the field as well.
Last Sunday you got a victory over Drake. It was senior day. I'm sure emotional. How special was it?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, not only getting the win, but just like my family was there and everyone was just there in support of me. And Michael always says, like, let's honor our seniors, but then at the end of the day, like, it's a game day. And so I think we were all like took that good energy before the game and really put that onto the field as well. So it was just so fun overall to get that win and to feel all that love and support.
You've got a couple of goals on this season. I know you're mentally thinking about more goals that you can score on the year. Do you set – well, we're talking about goals. Do you set goals for yourself when you go into a season, or is it just kind of, you know, how things play out with certain matchups?
Yeah, honestly, I don't have, like, a certain number in mind. I think just finding my way to impact the game and, like, being a midfielder, it's also really important, like, getting those assists and just helping my teammate overall, whether or not it's me scoring. I think just trying to get that win, and the goals will come with it as well if you keep working hard.
What has every year been like? You know, every year there are seniors that graduate, there's new freshmen that come in. What is the transition like for your team? You know, as you get into fall camp, you guys start matches before half the students are even on campus, it feels like, half of the time. But how do you handle that transition every year with new players and really, you know, molding, gelling together a new team?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing that it's really on the returner's job to, like, keep the culture that's been built over the past, like, however many years, and just keep that culture building. And, like, the same things that we talk about this season are the same things that we talked about my freshman year. And so I think just keeping that same culture that we've grown and worked hard to grow is really important, and passing that on to the freshmen. And I think it's also really about, like, team bonding. Like, when we first – it was nice to have the acclimation period this year because we got more time with the freshmen before games started. So just having everyone back back in the same place after playing on summer teams and everything, and getting that chemistry back, is super important. But really just the foundational, like, culture that years past have built, and just keeping that going throughout the years.
I know it's soccer right now and you're all locked in on that, but when you're not playing soccer, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do outside of the sport?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of the time outside the sport, I'm just with my teammates as well. But yeah, like, I have a job out here, and we have school. I'm a big reader, so my teammates always make fun of me that I'm, like, the grandma of the group, that because I always have my books or Kindle with me. But yeah, basically just hanging out with the team, hanging out with my other friends, and getting the job done.
Your bio says a neuroscience major. What do you want to do with that?
I'm actually health sciences, and my minor is neuroscience, but I graduate in December, so I think I'm going into clinical research now.
What made you want to go down that path?
It's just a very interesting field because I wouldn't physically be doing the research myself. It's more like coordination of research and, like, overseeing that kind of thing, and it's always been super interesting to me, so yeah.
Have you thought about where you might end up or start searching for jobs and graduate in December? This is coming quick.
I know, it is coming quick. I think I'm going to go back home to Colorado, back to my home state, but I'll definitely miss it here, and especially all my teammates, but yeah.
When you look back, like, the University of South Dakota, obviously at some point you made a decision to come here. Mm-hmm. What has it meant to you to be here in this community, obviously trying to get a degree and play mm-hmm. soccer, a sport that you love? What has it meant to you?
It's so weird to think back to, like, junior and high school year me, like, picking to go to this school and just coming here on my visits and everything. And I just know I made the right choice. And I just love the small town vibe, and, like, everyone's super nice here. I feel like that's just a Midwest thing that I've learned as well. But it's been so great. And everyone is just so supportive here, and the community. I feel like this school it's a lot focused on athletics, which is super cool to see how everyone is so involved, and also seeing how, like, other teams are involved with each other's teams, and, like, going to the different athletic events is super fun. And so it's just been great overall.
So many people grow up with dreams. Some of it's to be in sports. Mm-hmm. Some of it's to do something else. You've got to realize that dream in college and play college soccer. What would be your message to younger gals out there who are thinking about it, but maybe, you know, there's always a little doubt that creeps into your mind. But you were able to fight through that, even adversity, while you were here with injuries mm-hmm. and everything else. What would be your message to young girls to just keep pursuing it and find a way?
I would say just I would always think back to my younger self, like, when I'm 10 years old, and you look up to these girls in college and you think it's such an impossible thing. But if you keep working and you have the support system around you to keep going, like, you can do anything that you put your mind to, and you'll find a great team, you'll find a great fit for yourself, and just keep working towards that at the end of the day.
Last thing for you, big conference season coming up, and I know there's big goals for this team ahead through the conference year. For those who haven't had the opportunity yet, why should they come out to the soccer field and watch your team?
Oh, yes, definitely come out, especially for the night games. They're so much fun. Conference games are so intense, and you can just almost feel the tension, like, when you're watching the game. And it's so much fun, and I promise we'll score for you and put on a show for you guys.
We're excited to see how it all plays out. Good luck with that, and good luck with life after college and life after soccer, because it's coming fast, but appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
That is Brooke Conway. She is a senior soccer player for the University of South Dakota. Again, they are off until a couple of weeks when they start conference play. They'll take on South Dakota State on September 24th. That is on a Thursday. It's a 6 p.m. start time at First Bank and Trust Complex. So check it out and make sure you put that on the schedule. Coyotes and Jackrabbits on September 24th. That's the next soccer matchup. Soccer team right now 3-3-2 on the season. This week, I also had a chance to catch up with Harrison Brunn. He is a transfer from the University of Minnesota and has been an impact player on the defense for the Coyotes. They moved him up to that linebacker position, and he has made an impact here early on for South Dakota.
Harrison, the season off and rolling, headed into game number 3. First two games at South Dakota. What's been your feel so far in this 2-0 start?
I mean, honestly, it's just been a blessing, really. Just being put in the position I've been able to just play the game I love so much, just being surrounded by great coaches and just great players that just support me and that we all just have a burning passion for football. It's been a lot of fun.
What's it been like on this defense? I mean, you're all the time being a linebacker. You've been around guys like Gabe and Wade, and those guys bring intensity. They've been around here. How much have they helped you in your transition to South Dakota?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like lifting with those guys and just seeing the way those guys lead their room and just like learning from them and seeing how they like break down film, seeing how they practice and just trying to like mimic that and just grow from that. And bring it into my own game and bring it into my own, the stud room, and just try to lead in the way that they lead. I mean, it's really helpful and it's really cool to see.
You know, before South Dakota, you spent 2 years at the University of Minnesota, obviously your home state. Describe that experience. I know you only played in a couple of games for the Gophers, but describe that experience.
Yeah, I mean, it really was a blessing being able to play at my home state and for like a team I grew up watching. My parents went to the University of Minnesota, so it really was a blessing. And I mean, it's a really cool environment out there, and it was a lot of fun to play in, you know, for the Big Ten and for my home state. It really was a blessing.
You decided, let's go find a place, maybe you can get on the field a little, little more, things like that. Why South Dakota? Why did this end up being a fit?
I mean, honestly, I just, in the portal, I just felt like the Lord was drawing me to South Dakota. Like, there's a culture around here. I mean, the old head coach, Coach V, is obviously amazing. Johansson, he was a defensive head coach. There's like a mean and nasty defense that we've been building here. And I just saw that. And Kirch reached out to me, and I really enjoyed Kirch. And that was just a defense I wanted to be a part of. And the culture they're building around here, I just really wanted to see how I can add myself into that and do something great here.
You went to college as more of a safety. Now they've moved you up in a linebacker spot. You've been in pass coverage. You've stopped the run, things like that. What has that transition been like for you through fall camp that got you ready for game one?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've always felt like I've been, like, a little bit of a bigger safety, and I've known that, but I've really enjoyed safety, like, playing in high school, playing it at Minnesota, and then I started off in spring ball playing a true free safety or field safety, and then Kurtz decided to transition me to stud about mid-spring ball, and, like, at first, like, I didn't really know how I felt about it because it's a new position I've never really played before, but it's been really a blessing. I've enjoyed it more than I've ever enjoyed safety, just being down there in the box. I just honestly feel more comfortable just being in coverage down there, fitting the run, and doing what I have to do to help out my team and make plays where I'm able to make plays.
You know, when people look at a depth chart, they just see linebacker, and each linebacker has different responsibilities, sometimes different builds. We've seen things like Mike and the Will and the Sam and the Stud. So what's a stud linebacker?
Stud linebacker, some of us, the studs, we call ourselves killers, but it's really a mix of like a nickel and a Sam linebacker. Usually they take like a little bit of a bigger safety and they transform them into this like hybrid that's able to fit the run, also cover slots, and kind of just do everything. So it's kind of a mix of a nickel linebacker and a safety, and kind of the best of all worlds, but yeah.
And it's been good for you. Obviously, you've been able to make some plays so far this year. Describe the feeling of making that big play that you know is a momentum changer for your team.
Yeah, I mean, just anything, being able to be out there and play the game I love so much, it's just a blessing. So, like, any play I'm able to make for our defense, knowing that these guys can count on me to go out there and stop them and do it for each other is just huge for me. And just knowing that I'm able to help out my brothers and that they trust in me and that they know I'm going to make that play is just huge to really go out there and do it for them.
What are you looking for each play? You know, you line up, where are your eyes going? Mm-hmm. What are you searching for so that you can be in the best position to make a play?
Yeah, so Kurtz teaches us really just, like, you got to know the personnel, like, who's out there on the field, the formation they're in, and then we always just have our eyes starting on the offensive tackle in the box. We call it the triangle, but just looking in there and then to our receiver is really where my eyes are to start every single play.
I'd imagine if you're playing college football, then football's been in your life for a long time. How did it get started for you and the love for the game grow? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been playing football since third grade. I've enjoyed it since then. I think I really just started playing because my older brother Everett was playing at a young age tackle football, and I always saw it on TV and wanted to play it. But yeah, I really have. I wasn't always the best when I was growing up at football, but I know I love the game, and I felt like the Lord gave me a passion for the game, so I just kept pursuing it. And, you know, here I am today. But yeah, it's a hobby that's made into, you know, more than just a hobby. It's a love and a passion for something that can be so much bigger than just a sport.
Where do you get your inspiration from in the game?
I mean, player-wise, I love Cam Chancellor, Brian Dawkins, just like nasty, hard-hitting safeties. And then, I mean, just a mix. Like, I had a mentor. His name was Demaryius Travis growing up. He's a bigger safety. I get some things from him, and then just, I mean, my motivation really just comes from the good Lord and just an audience of one playing for him, playing for the game that I choose to glorify him.
Obviously, relationship with the Lord is, mm-hmm. is something that's very important to mm-hmm. you. You've mentioned it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. How did that build in your life?
Yeah, so both my parents, I grew up going to church. I have two amazing parents. They both were in ministry. And so they brought me up in a Christian household and led me to my faith. And, you know, I accepted Jesus into my life when I was probably about 12 years old with my mom. But then just getting into college and high school, like, my relationship with faith, it'll get tested, and it's really become my own relationship now. And, you know, I'm surrounded by a lot of great people on the football team and friends from back home that push me in my faith. And so it's getting tested every day here at college, but just continues to grow. And I'm always been really big in my faith.
You know, I don't know how many people understand, like, when you're a college athlete, especially mm-hmm. at this level, it can be really hard, you know, mm-hmm. taxing at times with a lot of things going on. And sometimes when things aren't going right, you got to use a little bit of faith and friends mm-hmm. to lean on. Absolutely. How do you try to navigate some of that when you go through those moments just to get yourself right and ready for the next opportunity?
Mm-hmm. I mean, just having good people around you, people who love the Lord, people who love you, and just, like, leaning on them on the hard times when you don't know what to do, leaning on them and getting advice from them, like, being there to just and just having people to be there for you, like, when things are good and when things are bad, because, you know, life's a roller coaster. It's going to go up and down. And just surrounding yourself with people who you want to be like and people who you know you can count on, whether times are good or bad, is really important.
You talked about your family a little bit in this. Mm-hmm. Was it important when you hit the portal from Minnesota to find somewhere that was relatively close, mm-hmm. or was it all about fit for you?
Yeah, honestly, it was really important for me because it was really hard leaving my home state where my parents and my grandparents, my cousins, my siblings were all just able to drive 40 minutes to my football game. It was really a blessing, and it was hard to leave that. But in my decision, yeah, I did want to stay pretty close to home. I'm a big family guy, and like, having family at my game is really important to me, so that was definitely a little bit of my decision for sure.
What are you in school for? What do you hope to do someday? I mean, obviously play football for as long as you can, I would imagine. Uh-huh. It's at the forefront. But if at some point the game of football doesn't work out, what's in your future?
Yeah, so I'm attending school for business administration. Really, yeah, I'm planning to play football for as long as the Lord allows me. Then from there, I want to go down, be an entrepreneur of some sort, create my own business, and maybe pursue something in like athletic training or supporting the youth, hopefully. But yeah.
Can I ask you about your tattoo? You got a big tattoo on your right arm. If anybody sees you up close, it covers that entire forearm.
Yeah, so I have two tattoos here. Sadly, all the women out there, I have a lovely girlfriend named Peyton. I've been dating her for quite a while, so I've had this tattoo for about 2.5 years now, a big Peyton on my arm. And then I have Michael the Archangel on my forearm, which is from the Bible, but yeah.
Obviously, two things that mean a great deal to you.
For sure, yeah. Just, I mean, it was honestly, like, some people always called me dumb and stuff growing up, forgetting this big Peyton tattoo on my arm, but, like, I always knew, you know, she's the woman for me, and just looking down and, like, seeing part of the reason I do it for her and, like, who's back at home supporting me. And then the Michael the Archangel tattoo is just, it's just that spiritual warfare with the devil and just fighting off the devil every day and the good Lord and just fighting for him.
What's your message to young kids? You know, you've battled your way through high school. You go to college. Things didn't work out in your first stop. You go to another spot. And so far, things have worked out. And our fans are going to grow to know the name Harrison Brown. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that much, the way you played the first couple of games. Mm-hmm. But what would you tell younger players who are trying to find their path in the game and the right spot for them?
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I'd just say that, first of all, just trust in the Lord. Like, his plan is so good and perfect for you. It may be difficult, but just continue to trust in him. And second of all, just stay passionate. Like, your vision of, like, your goals, it may get weary in hard times when you're struggling. Maybe in high school you're not getting offers or you're struggling to get on the field. But I just say stay passionate. Work hard. Like, working hard will always go, like, the longest way. You just got to keep your head down and work, and just keep your faith and always keep your vision clear, and never compromise your goals for anything or anybody. Just stay dreaming big and never let go of those dreams.
You're obviously still relatively new to Kiowa football. Our fans have been to one game, some of them, maybe some traveled to Greeley, have been to more, but they're going to continue to watch you. When they leave a game and they think about watching Harrison Brown play the game of football, what characteristics do you hope they, you know, think about, describe the way that you play and how you approach the game?
Honestly, I think that if I were to have people watch me and take something away, I'd hope that they see passion and someone who just loves the game of football. Like, someone, they just see me flying around out there, just living and playing for the glory of God and just, like, leaving it all out there. Because, like, truly, football is a blessing. It's always been a blessing. And, you know, you never really know when you'll get your last snap. So I just, you know, I hope that they just see a kid who's playing football, you know, a kid who had a dream of playing Division I football and, like, and luckily it's, you know, became true. So just a passionate young kid playing the game he loves.
You're a lot of fun to watch, and I know people will continue to see that. Harrison, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the year.
Thanks so much.
That is Harrison Braun, the redshirt sophomore from Buffalo, Minnesota. A linebacker for the Coyotes, has been an impact player in his first two games for South Dakota. We look forward to seeing him continue to make an impact on the football field. With great individual and a great conversation with Harrison Brun. Coyotes this week take on the Eagles of Eastern Washington. It's been a while since the Eagles have come to Vermilion. The last time they did, they were coming off of a national championship in the 2010 season, came to Vermilion in 2011, the number one ranked team in the nation, and South Dakota came out with a victory over Eastern Washington. I had a chance to catch up with Larry Weir, the longtime voice of the Eagles, and talk about this year's version of Eastern Washington. Larry, we head to game number 3 of the season, and obviously Eastern Washington off to a 1-1 start to the season. You've done a lot of games for Eastern Washington over the last several years, decades now. You look at the program now, you've seen, you know, a lot of ups and downs. Where do you see this program right now as we get into this season and where it's been and everything, you know, as you see it from your seat?
Well, John, you know, I think that it's on the way back up again here. You know, Eastern was really good throughout the 2010 decade, starting with their national championship season in 2010 and going through that 2019 season, two games in the national championship game. And they're not, I don't think, back to that level again, but I think they're inching their way there. Once again, you know, we had a few problems here as far as being able to fund the program, and certainly the new rules in college football don't help a school like Eastern that's challenged a little bit financially, and their model was always, they bring in a kid, redshirt him, and then play him for 4 years. And, you know, that meant that in the old days, they had that player for the entirety of his career. But anymore, that doesn't matter. So Eastern's had to try to find a different way to do things. And I think they're getting close to being back on track again.
Well, you go into this season 1-1, and you start on the road at Northern Arizona, just conference game right out of the gate, a top 25 team. Eastern got out to the lead, and unfortunately that thing fell apart in the second half and lose by a touchdown. But a good bounce back last week to win by 10 over Northern Iowa, another Missouri Valley Football Conference team. What have you seen out of this group in the first two games of the year?
Inconsistency, which I think is probably the hallmark here for a lot of the schools in FCS that lose a lot of personnel 1 year, and then you've got, you know, a bunch of new players coming in the next year. Eastern was able to hang on to a few more than I thought they might be able to after the 2025 season, but, you know, they started out so well against Northern Arizona, and then had a couple of big plays go against them near the end of the first half, and that gave Northern Arizona the momentum. Eastern did not play well at all offensively in the second half of that game. Defensively, I thought they played well the entirety of that game. It just in Flagstaff here at 7,000 feet elevation, they certainly did not spend any money on air conditioning inside the dome that afternoon. It was really, really hot and humid in there. It was probably at least 80 degrees, maybe even hotter inside the dome. So, Eastern kind of wore down a little bit in that. And then in the ball game last week against Northern Iowa, defensively, they had a very flat start to the game. Northern Iowa scored each of their first four possessions of the game, but then the defense buckled down in the second half. The offense was fairly consistent throughout the ball game, and they end up getting a 10-point win over Northern Iowa, which I think looked like a little better team than they were in 2025. Whether that gives them any more wins in 2026, we'll have to wait to see, because as the Big Sky is, the Missouri Valley is an outstanding conference, probably a little bit tougher, especially at the top, than the Big Sky, at least in the last couple of years. So, I think they'll have a better year, but we'll have to wait and see.
You look at this team for Eastern, and obviously the offense, you can't look past Nate Bell. He's accounted for all 8 of the offensive touchdowns through 2 games. A player that's back from playing some last year, he just looks like a special player.
You know, he's a really a different type of quarterback. Eastern's had some of the undersized quarterbacks in the past. You go back to people like Vernon Adams and Eric Berrier and guys like that have had tremendous success here at Eastern. He's even a little smaller than either of those guys, and neither of them were giants by any stretch of the imagination, but they were outstanding football players, and he's a little bit of that. He may be a better runner than either of those guys. He is really explosive with the ball in his hands, and he's got a better arm than people maybe think he is because of his lack of size. So he really is showing a lot of maturity this year. He has had a fantastic start to the season outside of one throw against Northern Arizona toward the end of the first half. You can't really find fault with anything he's done so far in 2026. So that experience that he garnered last year, I think, has really helped him in the start, at least here in this season.
You know, you're talking about the defense, and it looked like they gave up, you know, some rushing yards against Northern Arizona, but really locked down on the run game against Northern Iowa. What changed from week 1 to week 2 of this defense?
You know, I think basically it was the fact that they weren't at altitude and they were still fresh in the second half of play. Northern Arizona really did struggle to run the ball against the Eagle defense as well until the fourth quarter, when that fatigue started to set in. The Northern Arizona running back had 16 carries, 42 yards through the first three quarters, and then he had 61 in the fourth quarter of play. So I think it was the fatigue that really hurt them against NAU, and the fact that they weren't at altitude helped out a lot against Northern Iowa. And the other thing that helped out against Northern Iowa is the offense played a little bit more ball control type of a game in the second half than maybe they did earlier in the game. They got a couple of quick strike scores early, and in the second half they had a couple of really nice long drives where they were, 13, 14, 15, 16 play drives, whatever they were. And I think that really helped the defense, giving them a lot of rest and keeping them off the field. There's some in that second half to keep them fresh.
What do you make of the schedule put together for this team? Obviously, a couple of Missouri Valley Football Conference teams here. You'll play at Washington next week, and three of the first four on the road certainly makes it a challenge.
Yeah, it does, John, and that's kind of the way it is usually for Eastern. Very seldom do they have a schedule where it's home heavy or does not have games that are challenges, competitively, because they like to play the Missouri Valley teams. It seems as though the Missouri Valley teams are much more eager to play out here in a home and home. I think it's tough for the Southland schools and definitely for the schools in the Eastern time zone to, want to come all the way across the country to Cheney to play. So, Eastern is very thankful for the Northern Iowas and the South Dakotas and some of those schools, Illinois State, that they've had on the schedule in the past. It's a difficult situation to try to get somebody to come to Cheney, Washington. So it's out of the way. It's good in that we are close to a fairly major airport in Spokane, but it's also clear out on one end of the country. So it's a challenge for Eastern to find games, and they like to schedule tough. So there isn't anything, I have a tremendous amount of respect for the Missouri Valley as a whole, as a football conference. And I think it's really good that we're able to play these games.
Boy, one thing that really helps, though, even though you don't play everybody in the conference, nine conference games sure makes that non-conference scheduling a little bit easier.
It does. And I think that helps out a lot. There are a lot of schools that are in Eastern's, position as far as, it's tough to get somebody to go to Pocatello, Idaho. It's tough to get somebody to go to, as you folks were just in Greeley, Colorado last weekend. And so some of these places are a little harder to get to than others. Flagstaff, Arizona is another one that's difficult. So there are a lot of schools that are in that situation here in the Big Sky. And so and Eastern has always liked to play a tough schedule. They want to play the best. They had a lot of games with North Dakota State when the Bison were in the FCS. So, they really enjoy playing the top of the division, and we're going to see that with South Dakota on Saturday, and we'll get it out here in Cheney next year when the Coyotes come this way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. At the end of the day, what has to go well? What does Eastern Washington have to do in your mind to go to Vermillion and find a way to beat South Dakota?
They've got to play 60 minutes of football. They've got to play a complementary brand of football for 60 minutes. It can't be all defense for one half and all offense for another half. They've got to play well both sides of the ball and on special teams for the entirety of this game, I think, in order to be in the game in the fourth quarter and have a chance to come up with a victory in this ball game. They've got to limit penalties, which have been a problem in the first two weeks of the season, especially last week against Northern Iowa. There were 10 penalties for 107 yards. They've got to cut that down some, and most of those penalties were avoidable. That wasn't, give a pass on holding penalties on occasion and on some of the physical mistakes, but there were a lot of mental mistakes and a lot of overzealous type mistakes in that ball game last week. So they need to avoid mistakes as much as they can, play a complete 60 minutes of football on both ends. And last week they were able to win three of the key categories I think we all look at. They won third down, they won red zone, and they won the turnover battle. And if you can win those three, again, that would really take a big step for Eastern being competitive in this ball game on Saturday.
Well, we're looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a fun one. Larry, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you this weekend.
My pleasure, John. Looking forward to it.
That is Larry Weir. He is the longtime voice of the Eastern Washington Eagles. He's seen a lot of the ups and downs for Eastern Washington. Appreciate his time for joining us here in the conversation. Let's take a look at what is coming up in Coyote Athletics. On Thursday night, the Coyote volleyball team will play at Colorado State in Fort Collins. It's an 8 o'clock Central Time start time. Friday night, the volleyball team will play at the University of Wyoming in Laramie. That's a 7 o'clock start time for the Cowgirls and the Coyotes. Saturday, tennis is at the Augustana Invite in Sioux Falls, while volleyball is back in Fort Collins, Colorado to take on UC Santa Barbara. 1 o'clock start time. Also at 1 o'clock, Coyotes take on Eastern Washington in football inside the Dakota Dome. So we've got that coming up. We'll be on the air on the Coyote Sports Network at 12 o'clock. You could also watch the game on ESPN Plus, Midco Plus, and Midco Sports with our good friends Jay Elson and Andre Fields. Coming up on Sunday, women's golf back in action. They'll be in Normal, Illinois for the Redbird Invitational. Tennis continues at the Augustana Invite, and softball is set to take on Midland in fall ball action. So lots of things going on at Coyote Athletics coming up here this week. That's going to do it for us this week. Big thanks to Brooke Conway, Harrison Braun, and Larry Weir for making it all possible and joining us here on the podcast this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.